Please, and open with us to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 19. Deuteronomy, chapter number 19. I want to turn there tonight, and then we'll be looking at some other scriptures. I am interested, though, in the Old Testament principle that was fulfilled in the New Testament and continues to be true today. The book of Deuteronomy, Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 19, And in verse number 15, Deuteronomy 19:15. If you want to stand just for a moment, we'll read this one verse. The Bible says, "One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established." And at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. That was Moses writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Solomon wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, "And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." Then the Apostle Paul wrote under the same inspiring Penn said, "This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established." And then the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 16, "But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee two, or take thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established." A New Testament principle in the mouth of two or three witnesses. And tonight I want to take some time and discuss the three witnesses of our redemption. Let's bow our heads. Father, would you help us now as we seek to turn our minds and turn our hearts toward Calvary. Lord, we know that we live in a shallow time. We know that we live in a shallow day when you can get up and preach against things and people will shout and run. But when you turn your heart toward Calvary, when you begin to talk about the redemptive blood of Christ, people sit quietly as a mouse. And Father, I pray, God, that you'd help us. Lord, if we've ever been excited about anything, we'd be excited because our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Lord God, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to realize the cost and to realize what it took to that we can say we're born again, that we're free, that we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Father, I pray you would help us now in these days and in this hour. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Thank you very much, and please be seated. So I'm interested in the phrase three. I'm interested, of course, in the past tense of that would be third. But also, in Old English, there's another tense that would be considered thrice. And so I'm interested in those three words. And as I began to study and begin to look at the story of redemption, I began to see how that the things that were important and the key elements of the redemptive plan were all done in threes. Not two. It said it had to have at least two, but three was all that was required. And while it does contain two, again and again, the Spirit of God made sure that there would be three witnesses to the truths that we're talking about. I thought about what took place in the garden in the book of Matthew, chapter number 26, if you'd like to turn there. Matthew, chapter number 26. The Bible says in verse 36, they came to a place called Gethsemane. And he saith unto the disciples, "Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." And the scripture says, he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, James and John, began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And he said unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." I would submit to you that when he said even unto death, that was not a euphemism. That was not just a saying, but I'd say to you that it was a fact. The Lord Jesus was close to death at this point because of that burden of sin that was laid upon him. Look what the Bible says in verse 39, "And he went a little further There's got to be a message right there. He went a little further and fell on his face, and the Bible says, and prayed. That's number one, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Now, most people will tell you, and we've been taught all our lives, that he's praying about tomorrow. But I submit to you that he wasn't praying about tomorrow. He's praying about right now. Because the devil tried to kill him there in that place. You say, how do you know? He was so weakened, just as he faced the devil in the temptation in the wilderness, and ministering angels came to him and supernaturally revived him. The same thing took place in the garden. It's the only time in Scripture that that happened, that angels came and ministered to our Lord in the garden, because he was so physically drained from that bout that he had had. This was the final confrontation. The Bible said that he prayed. Then he came back and he said, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" In verse 40, verse 41, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." In verse 42, "And he went away the second time and prayed, 'O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done.'" Understand that he had already told Simon Peter, "I could call 12 legions of angels. If I wanted to get out of this, I could get out of this." That was never the plan. He also said that it was for this cause came I. Matter of fact, when Simon said, "Far be it from thee, Lord," the Lord rebuked him. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He said, "For this cause came I into the world." What was the cause? To be crucified, to go to the cross of Calvary. And so the Lord Jesus is not trying to have he's not having a weak moment and second thought and trying to get out of Calvary. What's he doing? Well, he is, again, praying right now because of what's taking place. He said that second time, "Oh, my Father, if this cup," what cup? "This cup, not tomorrow's cup, but this cup, pass from me, away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." He came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and he left them and went away. And the Bible says in verse 44, "And prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, 'Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners.'" The Lord Jesus made depositions before thrice holy God. He three times stated, "Let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." And so he was willing to die in the garden. He was willing to submit to that, but his goal was to make it to the cross of Calvary. And that's the whole plan of redemption. And so we see these three depositions, these three prayers that were prayed. But then you cannot think about threes in the story of redemption without thinking about Simon Peter and that aggravating rooster. It's been said the reason that preachers like chicken so well, that it was a chicken that told on Simon, and the preachers have been trying to exterminate the race ever since. And so I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know this, that Simon Peter had just boasted how that he'd go with the Lord even unto death. And the Lord told him, "Simon, that sounds good. You talk really good. You really talk good, but actually that's not what's going to take place at all." And so they came to him. The Bible says in Mark 14, beginning in verse number 66, "And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids to the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, 'And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth.'" Verse 68, "But he denied, saying, 'I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest.' And he went out into the porch," and the Bible says, "and the cock crew. And the maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, 'This is one of them.'" And in verse 70, "And he denied it again. And a little later after that they had stood by, said again to Peter, 'Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto.'" The Bible says in verse 71, "But he began to curse and to swear, saying, 'I know not this man of whom you speak.'" And the Bible says, "And the second time, the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus saith unto him before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. So there's the threefold denial of Simon Peter the night that Jesus was arrested. There's also three derisions. What do you mean? Well, first of all, in the hands of the religious crowd and the religious mob, the religionists, to say that they were Jews, they may have been Hebrew, but they were not practicing Jews. The practicing Jews, I mean those that were true believers, they followed the Lord Jesus. They accepted the Lord Jesus. They got saved in droves. And yet, the crowd that I'm talking about, they turned their back. And even though they knew who he was and knew what he was, they still sought to exterminate him because he threatened their power and he threatened their livelihood and all the rest. And so, by the religionists, the Bible says, first of all, they did in Matthew 26:67, they did spit in his face. As far as I know, that is an international insult. You want to pick a fight anywhere in the world? Spit in somebody's face. I mean, not on account that it's nasty, but that is to say that you are as low as you can get in my eyes. When you spit on somebody, have you ever heard the saying, you're not worth spitting on? You ever heard that? And that's pretty low when somebody's not worth spitting on, because that's the lowest act that a man can muster. And the Bible said that they spit in his face. And now these are the religionists. And the Bible says, secondly, and they buffeted him. So they beat him. And they hit him, the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says, and others smote him with the palm of their hand. Palm of your hand, when you slap somebody. You know, it's one thing to hit somebody, but when you open hand slap somebody, that's an insult. In the olden days in the English court, you'd take your glove and you'd slap somebody through the face with the glove. That was challenging them to a duel. And to slap a man open-handedly, for one man to slap another man with his open hand, that was like slapping a child. I mean, that was to look down upon them and to show how inferior they were to you. And the Bible says they spit on him, they buffeted him, and they smote him. This was the religionist. But then the Romans, they had their turn too. They had their part as well. First of all, the Bible says they stripped him and put on a scarlet robe. And of course, it was done as a mockery. Now remember that he had just been scourged. What's going to happen when your body has been beaten with a cat of nine tails and somebody puts a robe on you? What's that going to do? That's going to find its place in those wounds. And the blood's going to begin to coagulate in that. And of course, it's going to burn when they put it on. But imagine when they stripped him of that robe. Can you imagine when they took it back off? Can you imagine what that was like? And all of that began to bleed all over again. And so the Bible says they put on him a scarlet robe. I mentioned this morning. And the Bible says, and when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head. Again, these are the Gentiles who have been placed in power. And by the way, God placed the Gentiles in power. He did. And the Gentiles were given reign of this earth, beginning with Nebuchadnezzar, and we're still in that time of the Gentiles. And the Gentiles are still in control. But that will end shortly. And the reign of the Gentiles will come to an end. And little did they realize the only reason that they were in a place that they were not being crucified and him reigning was because that he had given them the power that they had, and yet they abused that power. How sad that is. The crown of thorns, and they placed it upon his head. Have you ever thought about, your children growing up, they ever fall and bump their head? Ever had a cut? The capillaries close to the surface of the brow, particularly, and in the scalp. If you're ever hot or cold, if you're outside, take your hat on and off. It's one of the best ways to regulate your body temperature because you lose so much heat through your head. If you're cold, just put a hat on, and it'll retain your body heat. If you're hot, when you're trail hiking, they find out rather than taking layers on and off, when you're trail hiking, get hot, just take your hat off. You'll cool right down. You get cool, you stick it back on. It's one of the best ways to control your temperature is through your hat. Well, because all of those blood vessels so close to the surface, And when you make the smallest indention, I mean, the blood just squirts. And, of course, blood coming from the brow, coming from the head, is because we know how fatal it can be. It's always something terrifying. Can you imagine all those old Jerusalem thorns that are pressed into his brow and all over his head, and the blood begins to flow? And the Bible says, and even they smote that. And then the scripture says, and a reed in his right hand. And, of course, that was to signify his scepter. And so they mocked him with the robe, they mocked him with the crown of thorns, they mocked him with the reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews! Hail, King of the Jews!" And the Bible says that they also spit on him and took the reed and smote him on the head, driving that old crown of thorns deeply into his brow. What are you trying to say, preacher? How would you like to be the Roman that did that? And one of these days, actually have to bow your knee at the great white throne and confess him as Lord. The problem is, it'll be too late then. It'll be too late. They mockingly bowed before him, but can I tell you, they will indeed bow before him some of these great and terrible day. There were three derisions. I won't take time to go into it, but he appeared before three different judges. He appeared before Caiaphas. He appeared before Herod. Caiaphas was the high priest, and then Herod and Pilate. There were three judges that he appeared before. There were three demands that were made by Pilate in the book of Mark, chapter number 15. He asked the question three different times, and so he was hesitant to condemn. And he said, this evil man, this innocent man, Pilate, his first demand, he said this. He answered them, saying, "Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy, the Bible says in verse 10 of Mark 15. But the chief priest moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said unto them, again unto them, "What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews?" Verse 13 says, "And they cried out, 'Crucify him.' And then Pilate said unto them, 'Why, what evil hath he done? What evil hath he done?'" And so three times Pilate questioned their motives and questioned what was going on and questioned this mock trial that was taking place. Three times the demands were made. Why? Who will you release him? What shall I do with him? What evil has he done? Three separate times the demands were made. Well, according to the Matthew chapter number 27, on the third hour of the day, apparently three nails were used to crucify three people. There were three deaths. The scripture says, in Matthew 27, "And they crucified him, parting his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. And they set an accusation written, 'This is the King of the Jews.'" Verse 38, "Then there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left." And even though they were sinners, and even though they were guilty of crimes, one got saved. But today, those three crosses, anytime you see that, that represents, I mean, that those three crosses have a representation to us. And those three deaths show us the two kinds of people. Here's the Redeemer in the middle. On one side, there's a man that got saved. On the other side, there's a man that's lost and was reviling him through his teeth. And so it is. And Christ in the middle, the man in the middle. And songs have been written about the man in the middle. Well, can I tell you, there were three deaths on the third hour using three nails on those three trees. The scripture says in the book of Luke, chapter 23, that there were three superscriptions. The Bible says, "And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and in Latin and in Hebrew." The Greek would have taken in the previous administration. The Greek culture had permeated at one point. All of that area had belonged to the Greeks. The Greeks had come in and conquered the Medes and the Persians. Of course, we started out, it was the Babylonians and of course, Nebuchadnezzar. And then they were overthrown by the Medes and the Persians. And they were overthrown by the Greeks. And the Greeks were overthrown by the Romans. And the Greek language, we could say, would be the language of aristocracy, because it was the language of learning and the language of, it was somewhat of the trade language of the world at the time, and so written in that. And then the Latin language, apparently Latin was the language of the Romans, and they were the invading force, and it was the language of the common man, but of the invading force of the common man. So you had the cultured side of it, the Greeks, as a matter of fact. We're referred to as Greeks in the New Testament. Anyone who's not Jewish is referred to as Greek. The Bible says to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so we're all would be considered in that Gentile group. In letters of Greek, in letters and in Latin. And the Bible says and in Hebrew. And it didn't say, they argued about this. They wanted to change the inscription and say, he said he was. And Pilate said, I've written what I've written. This is the King of the Jews. Notice in your Bible that that's all in capital letters. This is the King of the Jews. Can I say there were three descriptions in three languages so that about anybody who walked by could see that threefold testimony of who it was that hung between heaven and earth. In the book of Matthew chapter number 27, there are 3 hours of darkness. The Bible says now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. Let's see if we can count the day, how the day was. The night began in watches. The night was divided up into four watches. And the first watch went from 6 to 10. The second watch went from 10 to 2. Is that right? No, I don't guess that's right. Let me see. Let me think about it. So it 3 hours. Anyway, it was broken up, and I'd have to go, and my math is off. So it'd be from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. was divided into four parts. Those 12 hours divided into four parts, which would be 3 hour increments. And so that was the different watches. But in the hour during the daylight, because they had the sundial, they could discern what time it was because of the position of the sun. The sun was divided. The first hour was considered at 6 o'clock in the morning. And so the third hour would have been 9 o'clock in the morning. And then the sixth hour would have been noon, and the ninth hour would have been 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We're not used to keeping time exactly that way. But the Bible says, from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And of course, it was during that darkness that the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. And it was during that darkness that the earth did quake, and the Bible said that the rocks were rent. And so there was the supernatural darkness. There was the supernatural rending of the veil from the top to the bottom. And then there was the supernatural earthquake that occurred to the point that the rocks broke around Jerusalem. And of course, we know from the same gospel that the graves were open. But there were 3 hours of darkness. I've been thinking about what Job said about God dwelling in the thick darkness. I've been musing on that somewhat, and maybe be thinking about that a little bit more. 3 hours of darkness that testified. And then, understand, we all know this simple truth. 3 days. 3 days. First of all, I think about those 3 days in type. In the type of 3 days. You see, in the Old Testament, Christ is concealed, and yet we see from the New Testament standpoint, we see him very clearly. When it come to Abraham, and I mentioned the verse this morning, the Bible says that God spoke to him and said, I want you to go and offer your only begotten son on a mountain that I'll show you. And so without hesitation, Abraham did that thing. And verse 4 of Genesis 22, the Bible says, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off on the third day. That was the mount called Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. And so in 3 days in type, Jehovah Jireh with Isaac. And then with Jonah. You see, the Lord Jesus, they were wanting a sign. And they had come to the place, they were pushing and pressing him for a sign. And they want a sign, and they want a sign. He had already done signs and wonders. He had already performed miracles like Elijah. He had already performed great things in their midst, undeniable things. But they said that they wanted a sign, something that they wanted a sign. And this is what he said. He said, there'll be no sign given, but the sign given of the Old Testament prophet Jonas. He says in Matthew 12:40, for as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That verse right there pretty well does away with our Good Friday, doesn't it? Because you might get 3 days out of Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but you'll never get three nights out of it. And any time that God repeats himself, you better perk up. Anytime you ever see God repeat himself, you better listen to what's being said. Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. The Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. That type of Jonah. But in Jerusalem, think of this. The only time that we see the Lord Jesus in his young life, we see him as a babe, and we see him with the wise men come into the house, and we know that from there they fled into Egypt, and then when Herod was dead, they came back to Nazareth for him to be raised. But we don't see him again except for one little cameo appearance in the book of Luke, chapter number 2. The Bible says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year, verse number 41, at the feast of the Passover. So that's something to know, that every year from Galilee they would make the journey and go up to Passover. Kind of like going home for Christmas, and that's what they would do. Passover was the highest feast of the year. And the Bible says, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Notice it didn't say his father and mother, but it said Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they supposing, verse 44, him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And the Bible says in verse 46 of Luke 2, and it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him. Where was he at? In the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And the Bible says they were astonished at this 12-year-old. What they didn't understand is those questions he was asking, he's the one that wrote the answers, amen? He had all the keys to the question. He wrote the test, hallelujah. And so he didn't talk to them like somebody else. He knew the answers to all the questions. And he was 3 days in the temple there in Jerusalem. And so there's 3 days in the type of Jehovah Jireh, Jonah, and then, of course, his time in Jerusalem. But there's also 3 days, not only in type, but in truth. The book of Mark, chapter number 8, verse number 31, there's the truth that's foretold. The Bible says, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Notice that phrase. Sometimes we get messed up on that. After 3 days. It doesn't say on the third morning, but it says after 3 days. After 3 days. And so that truth was foretold in the book of Mark. After 3 days rise. It's fulfilled in the book of Matthew, chapter 28. The Bible says at the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene, other Mary, to see the sepulcher. And of course, we know what took place. The angel that was there said, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He said, he is not here, for he is risen. And he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. It was fulfilled. It was prophesied, it was foretold that he would rise in 3 days, and it was fulfilled that he arose in 3 days. But then can I say, not only that, but there are three women that come to the crucifixion. The Bible says in Mark 15:40, There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, and the less, and of Joseph, and of Salome." Understand that three women appeared there at the crucifixion. John shows up, but he is quickly sent away with Mary. But there are three women who come that are to witness the agony and to witness the shame and disgrace that the Lord Jesus is put through. The Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let it be established. Can I say to you tonight that Moses wrote about it in the mouth of three witnesses. Solomon said a threefold cord is not easily broken. Paul said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And the Lord Jesus said that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, that every word may be established. So let me see if I can just summarize this thought by saying it this way. After 3 days, the third person of the Trinity ascended to the third heaven, that the trichotomy of a fallen mankind might be redeemed by his precious blood.